Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. Today we're going to be talking about our temperaments and our flesh. And we want to start looking at and becoming familiar with how flesh corresponds to our temperament. And we're going to start using another term for flesh, which is our crutches. We all have crutches that we've been using to make it through life. Now, when we were dead in our spirit, before we were born again, we had broken bones. We had no spine. We had no life within us. So we needed those crutches. And God knew that and knows that. And so he doesn't hold it against us that we have these crutches and that we're continuing to rely on them. But continuing to rely on them keeps us from running, keeps us from living the way he wants us to live. So over time, he is removing those crutches. The crutches that we have are related to the types of wounds we have. And the types of wounds we have are related to our history, to our temperament, and to our response to our circumstances. The crutches that you have are going to be different than the crutches anybody else has. But the categories they fall into, the broad categories, are going to be understandable by everyone. For instance, if you have a broken leg, you're going to need certain kinds of crutch. If you've got a broken back, you're probably going to be in a wheelchair. So we're not going to get too distracted and drill too far deep into the particular wounds at this time. But what we want to look at is an overview to see the connection between our temperament and the kinds of crutches that we walk around with. There's a lot of different kinds of characterization of temperaments out there. And again, your temperament is simply the way your mind, will, and emotion were put together by God. He likes your temperament the way it is. He gave it to you. There is absolutely nothing wrong with your temperament. You don't need to worry about compensating for your weakness or strengthening your strengths. Your strengths don't say anything about you because you are a spirit being. It does say something about your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But that is something you have. It is something about you, but it's not you. As a spirit being, you already have the characteristics that God approves of because they are his. They are his characteristics. What is true about God is also true about you in your spirit. In your soul, however, your mind, your will, and emotions, that's where our battle is. And this is where we have opportunity. This is where we can take advantage of the circumstances that God has placed us in to learn how to live as a spirit being and get rid of our crutches. Getting rid of your crutches. Sometimes we just simply find ourselves no longer needing them, and they fall by the wayside, and we often don't even realize it. And sometimes we find ourselves throwing them across the room and rejecting them. The manner and the timing and the actual getting rid of them is something God does. We merely respond and cooperate with Him. Sometimes He will tell you, this is a wound I'm healing. This is the flesh that you've developed. These are the crutches, and I'm taking them away from you. And again, sometimes they're just gone, and we may not even realize it. We may never know, and odds are you don't know the healing that God has already done in your life and the crutches that He has already taken from you. But we don't value what costs us nothing. And God wants you to value the changes that He is making in your life. So He wants you to be aware of them. So when we talk about temperaments, again, there are a lot of different approaches. And we're considering approaches ourselves. But the temperaments we're going to look at now are based on the time-honored approach of Hippocrates. The four types we're looking at, that you're going to be a blend of them. So don't get too caught up in the particular type. A lot of times when you start talking about temperaments, people love it, because it gives us an okay to look at ourselves. And in a sense, in Christianity, in organized religion, there's a real hesitation and sometimes prohibition at looking at yourself. Oh, you're navel-gazing. You're looking inward. If you're looking inward, you can't look outward. Well, I'm not going to get too far caught up in that, but that's just not true, because it's all you. Spirit, soul, and body, we want to follow where God is leading. And part of our purpose here on this earth is to be healed, and part of that healing process is being freed from our crutches. So the four temperaments we're looking at is sanguine, melancholy, choleric, and phlegmatic. As I said, some point in time we'll come up with another set, but they will probably correspond to these kind of categories. And the reason is simply there's a multitude of ways of characterizing temperament. The category is not to be a distraction. That's not what's important. What's important is that the way God made you, the way He combined your mind, your will, and your emotions, is exactly right for you. Society may value one temperament over another, but God doesn't. So one of our goals is to learn to rule over our temperament. As your temperament is healed and freed from crutches, it will come under the authority of your spirit. But right now, it's serving two masters. Your soul is accommodating your wounds and using the crutches, as well as desiring to be united to your spirit. So that's where the division is. It's torn between wanting to do things the way it's always done it and wanting that freedom and rest that comes with being in a right relationship under the authority of your spirit. So that's what's important. Not even what we're going to be talking about, but why we talk about it is because it starts to, it gives God an opportunity to enlighten our eyes, to bring our attention to something he's been trying to get our attention to. So we're going to look at a limited number of categories, not to develop a comprehensive list, but to get an idea about what our crutches are, what they look like, and how they can be used against our enemies, used by our enemies against us. Remember, we have three enemies: the world system, our flesh, and the devil and his cronies. The world system was conquered by Jesus when he was here 2,000 years ago. The devil and his cronies was conquered by Jesus when he was here 2,000 years ago. The flesh was not conquered by Jesus because he never developed any. His soul was always under subjection to his spirit. So he didn't develop any crutches. So we have to work this out through dependence on God ourselves. This is not something anybody can do for you. This, you can't fast this away. You can't pray it away. You can't serve it away. You can't be in enough ministry to change this, to get rid of your crutches. This is something only you and God can do. Nobody can pray for you to be freed from your flesh. I mean, they can wish it for you. They can help you learn, and that's hopefully what we're doing. But I can't pray for you to and have your flesh disappear. It is something, and that's what it's there for, is to force you into relationship with God. We all have things about ourselves that we just really don't like, and in some cases hate. And part of the process is separating those out between what part of that is flesh that God also hates, and what part is our temperament that God doesn't hate, that God loves, that you need to learn to accept and embrace. Now, that doesn't mean we accommodate it. We don't accommodate our weaknesses, but we understand it's just a weakness. We don't live according to our temperament. We live according to our spirit. But it's no longer a matter of trying to either justify or exploit, justify our weaknesses or exploit our strengths. Now it's a matter of, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn? How do I learn it? And knowing that even the temperament he gave you is part of what he wants you to learn as a spirit being. So we accept it, just as we accept the body he placed us in, whether it's a male, female, the age, the culture, the country, the time period. All those are things that God put you into so that you could learn certain things here on this earth. So we embrace them and we go with the flow. So let's start with sanguine. The popular sanguine, that's what they want to do, is be the center of attention. They just want to be liked, and they want to have that attention. They are optimistic, they are a talker, and they are definitely extroverted. Well, let's just go through all four of them real quick so you'll have an idea about where we're going and about the distinction between them. So the popular sanguine is an optimist, a talker, and is extroverted. Then the melancholy is a perfect melancholy. They're a pessimist. They are a thinker and feeler, and they're introverted. Then there's the powerful choleric. There's an optimist. They are a doer. They are a producer. And they're extroverted. And then there's the peaceful phlegmatic. They are a pessimist. They are a watcher. And they are introverted. Now, again, of those four, the sanguine, the melancholy, the choleric, and the phlegmatic, they're a combination of pessimistic and optimistic, introverted and extroverted, and then there's how they interact with their environment. All of us have some of each of them. So we're not trying to categorize or pigeonhole anybody. And in different circumstances, you may be more sanguine than others, and then phlegmatic or choleric or something else in other situations. And those are things that if the Lord wants to talk to you about it, that's his privilege. We want to give him the opportunity to speak to us regardless of how we see ourselves. The point being that we can get very confused about how we're doing, about what actions we should be taking, about a myriad of things based on how we see ourselves in our temperament. And if we don't understand that what's going on in our temperament is influenced, was given by God, we will read into that our response more than is intended, more than is truthful. So by having, for instance, you can be introverted and extroverted at the same time. Now, obviously, that's going to be stressful. And we may have lived our life feeling pulled in two different directions or wanting two different things, going from being optimistic to pessimistic. And if we don't understand that that was the way God created us, there's nothing wrong with it. We just need to be freed from those wounds, healed in our woundedness, and bring that swing under the authority of our spirit, which is already under the authority of God. As we learn that, we no longer hide. We are no longer fearful of our swings. We are no longer controlled by being out of control. We recognize, okay, I'm really excited about this. Now I'm not so excited about it. Oh, I'm really looking forward to going to this party, and now I'm feeling, why did I ever accept the invitation? Oh, I'm really excited about starting this new business, and boy, you know, how did I ever get myself into this? We understand it's because we have a different aspects of our temperament that kick in at different times and under different circumstances. So what we want to do is make a specific effort to try to look at ourselves and go, is this part of my temperament? Lord, is there any wound here that you want to heal? And is there any crutch that we're getting rid of? Lord, is there any involvement you want me to make? Now, here's the thing, is once you get rid of those crutches, odds are your habits are going to have to change. You are probably going to be required to go back and undo some things, take some different courses that your life has taken. You may, in order to really do what you want to do, you may look and go, wow, I wasted a lot of time. And overcome that and go and do it anyway. You will find that you've made some mistakes. And hopefully what you'll experience is just God's response of, yeah, so what? here's where we are today. Let's redeem that time. And where do you want to be tomorrow? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Let's make sure we're using our time wisely and mastering and taking authority over our time. Don't let mistakes hinder your rest, your healing, your enjoyment. This is, God never intended for this to be agony, for this world to be agony. But it's going to be on His terms for that joy, that peace, that rest. Whatever is lacking in your life, you're not lacking it in your spirit. And the more we cooperate with Him by following whatever training schedule He has for us, we want to do that. We want to make a specific effort. So let's look at the sanguine. Now, a sanguine is, again, an optimist, a talker, and is extroverted. Their greatest strengths is that they are optimistic. They're cheerful. They are fun, and they like to have fun. They like others around them to have fun. Life's a party. They're spontaneous. They're enthusiastic. They like people. They love talking in front of people. You know, a great example of this, and we're going to use this example a lot, is if there were, and perhaps you've heard this, but there are four roles, four positions open on putting on a play. There's the star, there's the director, there's the wardrobe maker, and the behind the scenes, the craftsperson who puts the stage together and does the wardrobe, and then there's the person in the audience. And most of us can, if I were to ask you, which would you rather be? Which would you most want to be, and which would you least want to be? That gives us a really good start as to what your temperament is. And I would ask you, of those four, of the star, the wardrobe or stage craft, the director, and the audience, which would you rather be? And most of us, oh, I'd rather do this. So that's probably your primary temperament. So if you're the star, you're the sanguine. If you enjoy the wardrobe and creating the scenery, you're melancholy. If you're the director, you're choleric. And if your choice is none of the above and you'd just rather enjoy the play, you're the phlegmatic. Now, what if I were to tell you that role is already taken? Say you chose that you just wanted to be the phlegmatic, you just wanted to sit in the audience. What if I told you that seat is filled? You have to pick something else. What would you pick? And that's probably your secondary temperament. And then of those four, which would you least want to do? You just might as well just shoot yourself in the head rather than do that. Okay? That's important too. Because that, odds are that people who are like that just drive you nuts. So as we increase our awareness, we can depersonalize this. This is a normal thing. Everybody falls into these categories in general ways. We're not trying to pigeonhole anyone. We are trying to describe a reality and get our arms around our own selves so we can start talking about what is really going on. And very often, why we get so short with ourselves and with others, and why we have the expectations of ourselves that we do. So going back to sanguine, which is the star, the greatest strength of the star is the cheerful, fun, spontaneous, enthusiastic, and that they love people. Their greatest weaknesses is that they can be thoughtless if you get in the way of their fun. They can be careless because they will forget something if it's not important to them. They can be uncaring because they have a hard time empathizing, seeing things from someone else's position. And they also can use people for their own goals. And likewise, for sanguine, melancholy, choleric, and phlegmatic, they can all be selfish. They can all use people. So we're not targeting one people, one temperament over another. That selfishness, it comes out in certain ways according to the temperament. So again, one temperament is not better than another. Society values one temperament over another, but we don't really care what they say at this point in time. You will as you begin to change, because you may be going against what your society, your family, your culture says is valuable. Now, that your temperament, that's the way, again, what God gave you. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. As you develop crutches, as you are wounded, those crutches are developed based on your temperament. In other words, if you find your needs centered around controlling others, perhaps in your family or in your work situation, the crutches will develop around controlling others and how you control others. And it will be based on getting your needs met. For instance, that as a sanguine, you need people to like you. You need people to pay attention to you. So you may do things that either get people to pay attention to you in a positive way, like an actress or an actor on stage, or in a negative way. In other words, sanguines can think that bad attention is better than no attention. So even in, you know, growing up, we see this a lot in one child does really, really well in school and the second one does really, really, really bad to get attention. Because even negative attention is better than no attention. So the sanguine, the star, will use their strengths and weaknesses to get their needs met, their God-given needs, for attention, for value, for honor and recognition from others, themselves and God, and their circumstances. They will use those strengths and weaknesses. And we're going to look at what those look like for the different temperaments. And for, we'll start with the sanguine. And the sanguine, they all have the same categories of flesh and crutches, what it looks like, but how it relates to each temperament is going to be different. So we're going to look at four different categories or perspectives because we want to start looking at what does my crutch look like? How can I identify my crutches? And they are going to fall into four general categories. And that's needy flesh, or a needy crutch, a protection crutch, a socially acceptable crutch, and socially unacceptable crutch. So sanguines, for their needy flesh, to get their needs met, they are often people users. In relationships, the sanguine is the star, is more like a bee visiting flower after flower, taking what feeds them, then moving on. that can have very shallow relationships, but they're fine with that. And that can be very frustrating with people who are in relationships with them, because they're wanting deeper relationships and they're not available because the sanguine is not able to give that. So the sanguines do not form deep, long-term relationships easily. They have to work at it real hard. And this will often be manifested by forgetting of obligations, lack of involvement in the activities of others, and criticism or anger when others' activities intrude on their own. Because sanguines love people, they will object strongly when it is suggested the other's feelings have been hurt or an appointment missed. In other words, when you call them on their insensitivity, because they see themselves as someone who really loves other people and they would never do that, you're pushing their buttons. They're either going to get angry or really hurt. So we are going to pick it up here next week, next weekend. And as always, if you've got any questions or comments or feedback, feel free to drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. It's always good to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.